It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferret. According to the American Lung Association, nearly 4 in 10 Americans live in places with unhealthy levels of air pollution.
Wisconsin is tackling this problem with trees. The State Department of Natural Resources is awarding federal funds to plant and maintain trees to improve air quality and to provide other benefits. Nearly $4 million from the Inflation Reduction Act is going to 13 communities in the state.
Jay Dampier is the grant coordinator for the Wisconsin DNR. Tim Bull is the city forester of Sheboygan, one of the communities receiving support. Tim, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
And Jay, thanks for being with us.
Oh, I'm glad to be here. Thank you.
All right, now people hear the words trees and forests, and they think of a walk out in the woods. Well, now hold on. We've got trees in our cities. Can you talk about the value of trees and urban forestry for the people who live in these communities?
Trees are incredibly important to our urban living spaces. They provide shade. They provide carbon sequestering for reducing carbon dioxide, which leads to climate change. Aesthetically, trees provide just beautiful spaces for us to experience a bit of respite during our busy days and hectic lives. We can get into parks, whether it's trees in our backyards or trees in our city parks or trees that align our streets. They provide so many benefits to our communities here in Wisconsin.
And Tim, what do you see as the value of the trees that you work on and plant and take care of for the people of Sheboygan?
Yeah, street trees, are number one trees that I'm working on. And the one thing that maybe you might not think about is the storm. When we get a big storm, a bunch of water coming down and the streets might flood, But those trees are really helping reduce that storm water, and it would be much worse without them. So that's one thing you might not think about, but Jay mentioned all the other great things, or a lot of the other great things about trees. Property values, the shade, the reducing the energy consumption of your house or your building, those would be the big ones.
And Tim, we've got this money coming through the DNR from the Inflation Reduction Act, this federal money. What is that going to help you all do in Sheboygan with your urban forestry?
The Inflation Reduction Act, this opportunity through the DNR was really, really something neat. And it identified areas of the city that were considered disadvantaged based on some environmental factors. And the biggest one, the one we targeted for this grant, was the air quality. So roughly half of the city fell above the threshold, which put it into the qualifying area because of the air quality, the ground level ozone being the primary pollutant I'm talking about. So the grant is going to allow us to plant more trees. We're going to plant a total of 660 trees. We are not only going to plant more trees, we're actually going to try to keep some of the mature trees that we already have. So specifically, I'm talking about ash trees. Emerald ash borer has been an insect that was found here in 2016, and it's been devastating. We lost probably about 3,000 of our street trees. So we have about 2,000 left that we've been treating with an insecticide to keep them alive. And this grant is going to give us additional funding to continue those insecticide treatments.
And Jay, as you at the DNR were evaluating, where this federal money is going to go, what were your priorities for the kind of neighborhoods that might most benefit from support with their trees?
Yes. Yeah, so this funding was allocated to, and Tim used the term, I believe, disadvantaged communities. And so we had particular areas within the state of Wisconsin that qualified. Not every area qualified. And these were communities that were experiencing or are experiencing higher economic, social, and environmental burdens relative to the rest of the state. So in the case of Sheboygan, they made the compelling argument for the ground level ozone. Other communities might have been economic hardship in particular areas. There are cases where, so largely economic and environmental were the big ones that stood out. Also, with this particular, the IRA, Inflation Reduction Act funding, the proposals that ranked higher tended to also engage the community in various ways. So there was a real community engagement component. Those ones tended to score a lot higher. So municipalities, as in the case of Sheboygan, were awarded. And we also had grantees that were from some of our tribes, as well as nonprofits throughout the state. So it wasn't just municipalities.
And Jay, you picked up on something I wanted to bring up, community engagement. I've read case studies in communities around the U.S. where, hey, yeah, we're going to put trees in low-income neighborhoods, yay. But they didn't actually talk to the people who lived in those low-income neighborhoods. The project kind of went sideways. What does community engagement look like? What kind of connection and outreach do you want to see to communities as we develop these kind of projects?
Yeah, that's absolutely key. So in each project was obviously different in how they approach that. In some cases, the awarding, the proposals that were scored higher, engaged community members early on. So there is one project in Eau Claire where there's a neighborhood group that was, you could tell that through the proposal that they were highly engaged with the city during even the grant writing process, the proposal writing process. And they felt that this was critical for their neighborhood. And they engaged with the city in the grant writing and how it was going to look. In Eau Claire, I believe there was risk trees that were taken down. So again, they're being affected by the Emerald Ash Borer as well. So they were removing trees, and then they're also regreening trees, basically planting trees as well. Another project had a similar sort of approach is in Racine, where again, a lot of the work was a standard urban forestry, urban greening type project, but there was also a key component where they were engaging lower income communities that were also Spanish speakers. So their part of their project is engaging the community with education on the urban forest, and folks in those communities can apply for a tree to plant in their own yard, and then they would have the training and the education provided in a language that they can understand, which in that case would be Spanish.
And Tim, what does that kind of community outreach look like in your community? How do you, as a city forester and other city staff, work with neighborhoods and people when you're working on these tree plans?
Yeah, great question. So we are planning, we've met with, I think, three or four already neighborhood associations, so that the city has a number of them throughout. And my goal is to meet with every neighborhood association that's within the qualifying area or adjacent to it, and then, you know, inform them what's going on. And when we're planting new trees, whether it's part of this grant or not, we started a new system where we send them a postcard in the mail where they'll find out, hey, a new tree is coming. And then there's a link or in a QR code that they can follow to get to our website, our Department of Public Works website, where we have a new tree watering pledge, we call it. So if they're willing to take on the responsibility of watering the newly planted street tree near their home, they can sign up on our website. And then the map will show, you know, that one's being watered. So our own city staff here can skip watering that one and focus more on the ones that aren't being watered by others. So it's an opportunity to get them engaged. And I know I can see on the map there is probably at least a dozen people that already have signed up, but we're hoping for much more starting next spring when we plant more trees.
We're talking about state and local efforts to improve urban forestry in Wisconsin using some money from the Inflation Reduction Act. We have Jay Dampier with us, grant coordinator for the Wisconsin DNR, Tim Bull, city forester in Sheboygan. Jay, can you take us on a tour? We've mentioned a few of the different projects around the state. What are some of the different things that we haven't talked about? I understand Stephen's Point, fruit trees, for example, are a big part of the plan.
That's right. Yeah, Stephen's Point. What ranked them really high was certainly the urban forest, food forest. That was another component that proposal writers could target. But what was neat about the Stephen's Point proposal was they didn't just target these disadvantaged communities. They prioritized within. So there were some housing areas and some areas that they said, sure, we have this general polygon on the map, on the GIS map, that's obviously identified, but we're going to target areas that are even within there. So that's really made that proposal really strong. Other awards that we haven't discussed yet today is a couple nonprofits. So we were able to award three nonprofits, and again, there's a real neat community engagement component with these ones. So for example, Operation Fresh Start, based out of Madison, they do a lot of work engaging community members in job skills and workforce development. So their proposal is targeting not only people who could benefit from employment within urban forestry and arboriculture training, but also the work would benefit those communities. And those folks are drawn from the disadvantaged communities. So at the end of the trainings and the workforce development that Operation Fresh Start's engaging in, folks would walk away with a bunch of certifications. I believe it's chainsaw safety, first aid, some key industry certifications that would help those folks get good jobs afterwards. Also other community engagement. There's another entity in Milwaukee, the Milwaukee Water Commons, and they had a huge community engagement component too, where they're, again, removing some of the risk trees with you know, right off of private properties. They're developing a tree board, so where the community can truly get engaged and make a decision and engage on how their urban forests we managed within their particular communities that they're targeting there. Up north, Rhinelander and also Bad River Band, not too far from Ashland. Bad River is planting some food forest type planting as well. And the really neat thing about Bad River is that they're planning to plant culturally appropriate trees and shrubs that that can be used for medicine trees and food trees. So, and in the case of Bad River, they're going to be planting some silver maple because culturally that's an important species for that community.
Tim, I want to dig deeper into one of the key points you made about Sheboygan, that the trees, one of the goals is to boost air quality. Now, I get, you know, on a global scale, we need trees to produce oxygen that we breathe. But really, at a local scale like that, if you've got, say, a surface level ozone pollution problem, getting more trees up can really put a dent in something like that?
Well, I think it can. The thing is, what I think about is I was hired here in 2016, the same year that Emerald Ash Borer was found in the city. And at that time, we had about 20,000 street trees. Now, since then, fast forward till now, 8 years later, we're probably sitting around 16,000 street trees. So we lost a lot of ash and we lost some other trees just because of various reasons. So our canopy or our opportunity for more trees is pretty vast. And the trees, they can filter out nitrogen oxides and VOCs, these harmful pollutants. They can filter them out and really reduce that ground level ozone. Is it, you know, if you plant one tree, it's not going to make much difference. But if we're talking 6,000 or more trees,
sure,
and these things get mature, if they have the opportunity to get mature, which is another really important thing, planting the right tree in the right spot. That's something I'm really pushing. What we're trying to inform everyone about is when we plant a new street tree, we're putting the right tree in the right spot, meaning we're looking at the utilities. We're looking at how much space there is. We're seeing if there's if there's a street light, if there's a driveway really close, it'll allow them to reach maturity age before they, you know, become a problem for something else.
Jay, another big picture thing I wanted to bring up is, you know, with global warming, we hear concerns about urban heat islands. Where if it's all, you know, concrete and asphalt, it's absorbing that heat and it's a double whammy without the trees. Then people don't have shade to get relief from that heat that is being absorbed and then radiated back out in the city. How much can tree planting in urban areas help with something like that?
Yeah, certainly localized. I couldn't throw the numbers at you today, but in a localized sense, for sure. You just imagine, you know, walking in a hot parking lot, you know, and it's 85 degrees outside, and then you just scooch over, you know, maybe, you know, a few hundred yards and you're in a park. You can feel the difference. And so certainly urban heat islands is a major issue in our areas where that are highly built up. And trees can certainly contribute, certainly on a localized factor for sure, reduce that heat, which again, as I believe Tim hinted at earlier too, that also reduces our energy costs. So if you have shading, over parking lots or near homes, that also, or buildings, that also shades the heating, that solar gain that comes in through the windows and through the walls and heats up the buildings. And that can also cut down on energy costs. Which in some cases on our grid, some of the energy does come from fossil fuels. And so you also consider it as far as, you know, you're not burning coal or burning other carbon-based sources for our electricity generation.
Tim, I wanted to ask you about the timeline here. And obviously it's December, not a great time to put trees in the ground. And you mentioned there's some serious thought and planning going into this. What would be the timeline then for these trees to start going into the ground?
Yeah, so this is a 3-year grant. And we're going to take all 3 years of it. We're going to We're going to do a total of 660 tree plantings, which we're going to spread out over 3 years. So we're going to plant the first 220 next year, and then it won't be until the fall. We have we kind of have a holding area, a gravel bed, that we'll get the trees delivered in the spring. We'll put them in that holding area. The roots will be able to grow, really expand, probably almost double in size in some cases. And then in the fall, we'll plant those trees along the street. And we'll do that. So basically fall of 2025, 220 trees. We'll do the same thing in 2026. And then in 2027, because the grant ends, we'll plant those last trees in the spring.
We'll leave it there. Tim, thanks for joining us today.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
And Jay, thanks for being with us.
Oh, fantastic. Thank you.
Jay Dampier is Inflation Reduction Act Grant Coordinator for the Wisconsin DNR, specializing in urban forestry funding. And Tim Bull is the City Forester of Sheboygan.